You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Which means we have Mr. Serebi himself here online. Morena, my friend, how you doing?
Morena, thank you for having me.
My pleasure, man, my pleasure. It looks very beautiful and idyllic where you are in Cornwallis, which is west of Auckland. See, I have no real bearing on North Island geography, so I'll just take your word that it's west of Auckland.
Yeah, right on the money, yeah. It's out west, it's beautiful out here.
Mm-hmm.
I've just moved house, so I'm just staying with some friends for the week, and they just happen to be in a nice little nook out in the bush by the beach.
Nice.
So I'm chuffed.
A little beach nook.
A little beach nook, that's right.
Hell yeah. There's actually, I'm originally from Southland, near Invercargill, there's a place called Cozy Nook, and it's like this tiny seaside village that's only literally like 15 people, and they're all massive hippies. It's awesome.
That sounds similar to this.
I think there's a lot of hippies in New Zealand, which is really lovely. I'm curious, your name's Serebi, which, when I heard the name, I was like, that sounds like a Pokemon thing, and then I looked it up, and it is a Pokemon thing. There's a online Pokedex or like Wikipedia about Pokemon called Serebi.net. Have you been alerted to this?
I should have googled Serebi before I committed to the artist name. Let's just put it that way.
Is it 3B? Is that how you pronounce it?
Serebi, yeah.
Oh, Serebi. Yeah, Serebi, right.
There is a Pokemon spelt in a similar way. It's like, yes, this little green Pokemon.
Celebi. Yeah. I did some research on it. It looks like a spring onion.
Yeah, it's not. I'm not too gutted about that. I suppose it's just when people search up my artist name, I'm competing with a like rare Pokemon species.
It's a good thing to compete with, man. Do you have any many? Have you seen any Pokemon cosplayers at your shows yet?
Not yet. Maybe in a couple of years, I'll be lucky enough.
Well, you could really play into that, and your next album could just be a Pokemon soundtrack, a series of colors. That'd be awesome.
I'm not opposed to it.
I'm glad to hear. So the new track you've come out with is Might As Well Be Watching. Might As Well Be Watching what exactly? Pokemon movie?
Yeah. You might be onto something here. Maybe that's what I was subconsciously writing about.
Possibly.
No, I think... I'm still figuring it out. I'm still sort of figuring out what the song is about. And it feels like a perspective sort of sitting in the background rather than being at the forefront of a conversation, trying to be loud enough to be seen or heard. It's quite nice to just slot into the background and find comfort observing rather than participating. I suppose that's kind of what I was getting at in retrospect.
Mm-hmm. I think that plays out really well in the music because it's a very quiet song. From the live version that I watched, it was quite quiet, but yet your vocals are still the center of attention, and they keep the track moving. Is this a style that you're going to be like pursuing the whole time during your new album, Dime?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, that's a good question. The approach with the mixing and the shape of the kind of the track is a similar theme to a few of the tracks where there's less reverb and effects, mm-hmm, and there's more sort of songwriting and lead vocals sitting on the top opposed to as a textural element in previous records. So, yeah. It is.
Nice. And you're also using your voice a bit more in this new project. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Cool.
Yes.
So what stage in developing your vocal style are you in?
Well, I'm pretty nervous about being on... sort of being the main vocalist on a record. So it's quite daunting, but it's exciting. And I'm feeling a lot more confident with my vocals.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing to do it live and get that same intimate sound, which I've been enjoying the challenge with that too. I'm not too sure what stage, I suppose. Maybe somewhere between intermediate and refining sort of how I want to sound, getting to that sort of stage with... getting my onset sounding a bit better. Mm-hmm. I've had a few vocal lessons to make sure I can land on notes rather than glide into everything.
Well, that's good that you're being very proactive about it. does this kind of anxiousness, does that make you want to experiment a bit more with your vocal style because you're kind of just throwing stuff at the wall to see how it lands? Or are you more honing in and settling in with what you feel capable with?
I think I'm leaning into my vocals more because I am a little nervous about it. I think that's usually a sign that it's the right thing to do. If it scares you, it's quite fulfilling if you chase or lean into that that feeling or emotion. So I've been leaning into singing more and just sort of accepting it.
That's awesome, man. The live version of the track features, a variety of instruments. You got the sax, you got bass, you got guitar, a tambourine kind of percussion thing. You got keys, as well as another vocalist. How did you balance all of these elements out to make it still sound as subtle as it does?
I find the best way is to do some one-on-one rehearsals, where especially with other vocalists and keys and like textural stuff as well, maybe synths. Mm-hmm. It's nice to try and hone in with the individual rather than the whole group. So me and Rachel, who she performs as Eliza. She's the vocalist. She sings with me and plays piano in the band. And she's awesome. We spent some days practicing together and locking in our voices. And then rehearsing, I suppose, to answer your question. Mm-hmm. You just got to have a few rehearsals and kind of synergize as a group.
Yeah, work all the kinks out.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. That's awesome. That's right. The live version that I watched on YouTube is about, seven-ish minutes or something like that? Whereas the new one that's just come out is about 3 minutes. What's the go with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I like this question because when I was recording,
sorry,
when I was recording the album, this track ended up being a sketch, a demo that I wanted to take to a band, and I was too attached to certain parts of the demo, and it felt sort of too late to go back and start again with a band. So I ended up polishing this demo to get it to where it is now. And then annoyingly, I put together this band and they play it so beautifully. And it was just after the track had been mastered. So,
oh no!
So I've got this, I suppose the nice thing is that you can always have a live version, so...
Mm. Could it end up? Could the live version end up as a hidden track on like a CD or a cassette or something?
That's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea. $1 million idea right there. I tell you, I should be in the marketing business instead of the radio business sometimes. Anyway, during the creation of this new album, Dime, you've been listening to mostly your stuff and a bit of Aldous Harding. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've been listening to. Also, I've been listening to Adrian Lenker and this folk artist from the 70s called Linda Perhax. There's an album called Parallelograms, which is gorgeous. That's been a big influence throughout writing these tracks.
Mm-hmm. Is it most... What ratio of are you listening to your stuff to other people's stuff?
I listen to my stuff a lot because I have to... Because I've been mixing it.
Mm. Oh, true.
Recording it and mixing it. So I'm kind of forced to sit on them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Which has its ups and downs.
So it's not kind of like a monk thing where you'll say strictly listening to your stuff and maybe a little bit of other people's stuff just so that you maintain your own self-influence?
Yeah, not really. I suppose... Some music crept in and I didn't listen to a lot of other music, which I think next record I'll probably dive into deeper listening to other people's stuff. It's just educational.
Yeah, super important there. Super important.
Yeah.
I think that's all we have for today. I just want to know, are there any more singles on the way before the album comes out, and are there any shows that you want to plug, Maggie?
Yeah, sure. There is a single coming out after this one called Varen's Corner, which is coming out towards the end of January.
Say Darren's Corner?
Varen's Corner.
Varen's Corner.
Varen's Corner. That's going to be another track from the record.
Nice.
Which I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, what does your schedule look like between now and the release of the album?
There's a lot of space.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
I suppose coming up to the end of the year, it's shifting into like Christmas and holiday time, so it's nice to have a little breather, put out a song, and then I'm going to Germany on Saturday, and then Japan a few weeks later. So I'll be traveling for a while. So it'll be nice to just soak up some overseas and come back.
Mm-hmm. Nice, man. How long are you away for?
I'll be back for Christmas, so a couple of months.
Awesome. You're gonna be playing shows overseas?
Yeah, maybe a few in Japan.
Cool. Well, I wish you well with those shows in Japan, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for coming on the program and taking some time out of your day to chat to me. That was great.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much. All right, folks. That was Saribi chatting about their new single, Might As Well Be Watching, which we're going to play for you right now. You're listening to the Radio 1 Breakfast Program, brought to you by the lovely people at AdU. Stay tuned for some more goodness, folks.
Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.